But I want you to see something that happens. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, when Jehovah's Witness come knocking on your door, you know what they're doing, don't you? They're overcoming by the word of their testimony, and they are in the process of making up what they think is this 144,000. Huh? Oh, I got it. Dad said a lot of us are going to be left out. Like I often say, we ain't leaving, they are. There are certain groups of Seventh-day people that believe they are the 144,000. There's an obscure cult called the Flying Roll. It comes out of Zechariah's prophecies. We preached on the Flying Roll, but we didn't form a cult. There is a cult, the Saints of the Flying Roll, that think they are the 144,000. And countless theologians that believe the church is the 144,000. The most fundamental principle to interpret Scripture is to simply believe, unless it totally stretches the mind or there's some other interpretive principle given by God Himself in the book. Take it literal. Believe me, if Daniel's visions had seen a lion, a leopard, a bear, and a strange beast, and Daniel said, "What be these things?" And God had said, simply, "Daniel, stand in thy lot till the end of thy days, and it'll be revealed." I would believe that somewhere, sometime, like those demon locusts out of the pit, there are going to be some scary animals rise up. But God interprets it. He says, these beasts are kingdoms and kings of the earth. Absent such interpretation, you ought to believe that God is not so dumb he can't say what he means. The first principle of biblical interpretation is expect God to say what he means. Start there. What are they? God doesn't. I mean, God must sit up on his throne and say, "What's the matter with people? I said, by my angel, don't hurt anybody till we've sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." 144,000 of, read it with me, all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Aser were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh That's one of Joseph's sons, you'll remember. Manasseh and Ephraim. You don't find Ephraim here. You find Manasseh. You don't find the tribe of Dan here. You find Joseph and his son Manasseh of the tribe of Judah, of Reuben, of Gad, of Aser, of Nephilim. You find this son of Joseph, Manasseh, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Lots of times when the promises of the property in the Old Testament are given, Levi is left out because they were to live off the tithe of the other tribes. But Ezekiel sees the ordering of the land during the millennium days when the great temple's built, and Levi's got its portion. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. What's so complicated about that? Why do you have to mystify it? And why is God talking with all these tribes to describe the church? He isn't. He means exactly what he says. The church is gone. The 70th week of Daniel is the fulfillment of what God's promises and plan is. Promises are and plan is. Speaking to Daniel, to thy people. He's going to seal 144,000 of them. Not 139,999. 144,000. Well, what if he gets the wrong one? He won't. What happened to the tribe of Dan? It did not name the Danube River nor Lundan. British Israelites notwithstanding. Well, how come they're left out? Because God didn't include them. Quit complicating God's word. Well, how come there's only 12 in each tribe? Because He wants 12,000 from each of these. How come Manasseh and not Ephraim? Because God wanted Manasseh and not Ephraim. Well, doesn't that stack the deck a little on Joseph's side? Yeah. There are 24,000 descendants of Joseph, 12,000 of which come via Manasseh. It means exactly what it says, folks. God's going to put a seal on them. The Bible will later call that seal the name of God in their forehead. I've read every other kind of explanation of that. Sealing of the Holy Spirit as they try to... Sure, the Holy Spirit seals people, but God's book says an angel here is going to do it. It is a seal, obvious to the eye, that those demon locusts that come out of the abyss will be able to see. They're going to be hated by the world because they're going to be exempted from some things that happened to everybody else. Had nothing to do with the church. The church, the 24 elders. We'll get to that. What about the rest of these people? After this, I beheld and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Who are they? I ain't ready to get to them yet, but they're not the church either. Sorry, folks. I'm on the 144,000. They're exactly what the Bible says they are. They will be preachers. I know some people think nothing's going to happen during the tribulation that God's Spirit's on. Man, the last two witnesses are empowered by God's Spirit. The Word clearly says that. Before God allows them to be hurt. Ezekiel thought, or rather Elijah thought, there's nobody around but him. God said to Elijah, I have me 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal, nor kissed Baal. How can God find these Jews? I mean, they're scattered through every tribe. A remnant of them have come back to Jerusalem by that time because they had to restore Jerusalem and occupy it. They had to come back to that land. Otherwise, the 70th week couldn't start because the 70 weeks has to do with thy people, Daniel being the object of the message, and thy holy city, Jerusalem. It had to be back in the hands of the Jews. I mean, Truman, that rough-talking haberdasher, become president, hardly knew that he was under God's control, just like old Cyrus when he recognized the state Israel. God had to have the nation restored. It's got to be. Jerusalem had to be in their hands. I've been saying for years what a taxi driver said to me after this six-day war. He said, how much of Jerusalem you think they'll give back? He says, not a centimeter. It has to be in their hands. There's going to be 144,000. God knows where they are. He keeps the genealogies. He knows who's born of whom. 144,000 preachers. You ever seen a converted Jew? Huh? If they can get on the right track, there's something else. 144,000 of them sealed. Why are they sealed? When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Then I saw seven angels. To them were given seven trumpets. They've been sealed now. Nothing else was going to happen after that sixth seal until the 144,000 got God's mark on them. They are recognizable. You say, you mean all those strange things are going to happen? Man, God putting a seal in the forehead is nothing alongside those monsters that are flying over there. The demon locusts that come out of the abyss. And believe you me, when those things turn loose, if I were a Jew, I'd want to have neon lights on my forehead. Saying, hands off, devil! I'm the Lord's! Seven trumpets. First angel sounded, hail, fire mingled with blood. They were cast upon the earth. The 144,000, don't miss that. Second angel sounded, it were a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea. Third part of the sea became blood. Third part of the creatures died. Third part of the ships destroyed. Third angel sounded. There fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. Third part of the fountains of the waters turned poison from this great star called wormwood. Fourth angel sounded. Third part of the sun smitten. Moon and stars. A third part of the light changes. This whole galaxy affected. Then warning comes. I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Three more trumpets, and we aren't even to the vials yet. Fifth angel sounded his trumpet. Star falls from heaven, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. There arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Unto them was given power. I know we've been over this, but I'm crossing the same ground with a different purpose today. Unto them was given power, and the scorpions of the earth, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. That's why the 144,000 are sealed. These demon locusts released when that fifth trumpet blows. They come out of that pit. They have shapes like unto horses prepared unto battle. Get a camera on that picture. I don't know how you can do it, but get it over there. They have shape like unto horses prepared unto battle. On their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. Their faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of a woman. Their teeth were as the teeth of lions. Our in-house artists didn't do bad. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. He's Abaddon, all right. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. When he striketh, the torment is as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Fifth verse. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now, I've heard prophecy preachers try to say these are attempts in prophecy to anticipate the invention of helicopters. What are they going to do with helicopters coming out of the pit with Abaddon as their boss? God doesn't deal half in fancy and half in fact. These are literal demons that come forth from the pit. There are helicopters running around spraying with their guns and stinging with a gun in their tail, but indiscriminately just shoot and blow down painful whatever it is that the helicopter theorists think they're shooting with. They ought to be able to single out and not touch 144,000 people that have a visible seal to be seen. There's 144,000. Do you think the church is going to be stung by them? The church is not going to be here. Antichrist has already come to power. Antichrist already rode in on his white horse. The angels are going to get ready. The sixth trumpet has blown. The fifth trumpet has blown. The sixth trumpet now is going to blow. Loose the four angels that are bound in the river Euphrates. 200,000. That's 200 million demoniac horsemen that our artist is now working on. If I get it on the other side, it'll scare us to death. Then the angel comes down from heaven clothed with a cloud. And we get ready for the seventh trumpet, where the proclamation is the kingdoms of this world are to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. These 144,000 are encountered again. They're in the 14th chapter. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. We're well into the book now. The beast has been infuriated. The beast out of the same pit that strengthens Antichrist as he comes to power in the land of the old Assyrian Empire. That Antichrist and the false prophet hate the fact that God had sealed 144,000 and they became preachers of righteousness. So they start marking theirs with the mark of the beast. You can't buy or sell without it. You can't walk in with that other mark. That mark will keep the scorpion locust off of you. You got to have the Antichrist mark to buy and sell. But God takes care of His own. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, before the four living ones and the elders. The elders, that's the church. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Paul writes to the Corinthians, just so we don't have an argument for celibacy introduced here, and says, I must present you, and that's his burning desire, as chaste virgins before the Lord. It has to do with compromise with the world in that case. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. Now today I move into a territory we haven't been in the book of Revelations in this series. As you've seen us do, as we've introduced every other basic concept, we come back to it from different frames until it begins to gel in everybody's mind. I just have to introduce it today. If you understand the Feast of First Fruits, there are first fruits of different kinds. You don't just bring one first fruit. There are first fruits of different kinds of fruit. There are people that build their whole biblical doctrine of eschatology on the phrase first fruits. Christ was the first fruits, the first fruit of those that become, in Paul's language, the first fruits, as he talks to the church. We're now in the 70th week. An entire new company of redeemed. The church is gone. Antichrist has come to power. Most of God's people of promise have made a covenant with Antichrist and accepted him as a false Christ. But God finds 144,000 of those people that He's going to see you. And they become the first fruits of people redeemed out of that 70th week that will have a place in the kingdom. There's a man-child. We haven't talked about him yet. There's a sun-clothed woman. We haven't talked about her yet. There is a remnant that must escape through the cleavage of that mount that is cleaved in half, as Zechariah 14 says, when Jesus comes and they flee through that gap before Armageddon. There are those that are beheaded who will not take the mark of the beast and become martyrs to join other souls under the altar. Don't put a box around God in His redemptive pattern. There's only one church. There are only 24 elders that sit on that throne. But there's 144,000 standing around the throne singing their own song of the redeemed. And there is an uncounted multitude and souls under the altar. I'm moving into that subject that I will be dealing with for a few weeks. Those that God rescues during the tribulation. The cause of a lot of confusion about those that think the church is destined to go through. They'll come in with palm branches. We come in with crowns. They're different, you know. We're seated to rule and reign. They stand and are served and they're taken care of. That ought to be a reversal. God is a God of justice. He's a God of mercy. But heaven is not an equalized socialism where everybody looks alike and plays a harp alike. God's just getting started on eternity as He undoes the damage of the evil one that rebelled against Him and caused this earth to be hit with a cataclysm and a recreation, and a man that God said, let us make man in our image, that becomes, if you will, the hostage in the battle. Where God will be defeated in His purposes unless He can bring forth not only the wild olive branch, but bring forth out of the old trunk of the tree the saints of the old order as well. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they're virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they're without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach. If that angel flying out of Channel 40 is this, how come they ain't been stung with the locust yet? Huh? Boy, that'd take the jump out of them. Anybody that craftily uses God's word is my enemy. This angel flies after Antichrist has come to power. This angel flies after the 144,000 have been sealed. This angel flies after those locusts have been released from the abyss. This angel flies after the 200 million demon horsemen come out of the river Euphrates. This angel flies after the harlot woman church has already made her peace with government. This angel flies after the beast has come to power. This angel flies after that the false prophet has made everyone small and great take the mark of the beast. This angel flies after the 144,000 are standing before the throne. The only comfort I take in nuts is apparently they ain't going to be there, so I don't have to put up with them. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. believe in using Bible to raise money, but not false scripture. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, God's not done preaching just because the church is gone. He hasn't even sent his last two witnesses. No, that's not a Christian satellite. It's an angel. Period. And this 144,000 represent 144,000 of God's people out of the tribes of Israel that He will use to speak for Him in the last day. An angel will come and speak. Another one's going to follow, saying, Babylon is fallen. Then the seven vials come on the scene. Grievous sore upon man that had the mark of the beast. Second vial, the rest of the sea becomes blood. Third vial, the rest of the rivers become blood. Fourth vial, the sun begins to scorch men with fire. Fifth vial, right on the seat of the beast who's in power now. And his kingdom turns to darkness, and they blaspheme God in heaven because of pain and sores. Sixth angel drives up the river Euphrates to make the way for the kings of the east, as we preached last Sunday, to bring Armageddon on the scene. And three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, now the mouth of the beast, now the mouth of the false prophet. These evil spirits go to claim men. One will be sleeping, another working, to claim them and take them to the battlefield where carcasses will fall and the beasts, or rather the birds of the air, will feed upon them. And Armageddon is set. He gathers them together unto a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. I want you to understand, God does rescue. God does preach. God does reach during the tribulation. That's my subject for several weeks. I know it's going to give some people a little hope. I'm going to wait around. See if I can get in that crowd. Some of you liable to start checking genealogies to see if there's somewhere you can find a connection with Manassas. The church leaves before that first verse of the sixth chapter even opens. I've quoted it in closing every single Sunday. Don't let anybody beguile you, Paul said, that day will come upon you unaware. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I was there to teach you that man of sin cannot be revealed except there be taken out of the way that which restraineth. And he that restraineth will restrain until be taken out of the way. Then that man of sin will be revealed. I close with Daniel again. And I need this to set the stage for the weeks ahead. Second chapter of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar had had a dream. We've been over it several times. This secret is not revealed to me by any wisdom that I have, Daniel said, but God revealeth secrets. Thou, O king, sawest, the 31st verse, second chapter, and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands,
which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now this is the dream, and we'll tell you the interpretation. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. Thou art this head of gold. After thee shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. A history of the world out of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Gold to silver to brass to iron and clay. The old Chaldean, Babylonian Empire to the Medo-Persian, to the Grecian, to the Roman Iron Kingdom, to a reconstituted ten toes, iron and clay. The verse I'm focusing on, in the days of these kings, that's in the reconstituted, while those ten kings are still living, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, the interpretation thereof sure. In the seventh chapter, Daniel had the vision. He saw a lion, he saw a bear, he saw a leopard with four heads, and then a fourth beast. The fourth beast had ten horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked out by the roots, and behold, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. 21st verse, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. The ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings, a little horn pushing three out. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, a year, a times, 2 years, and dividing of time, 3.5. That's the first 3.5 years of the final 7 years. He comes to power. Now go to Revelation 13. A beast rises out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. The beast which I saw was like a leopard. I've been on that. Let me skip past it. The head wounded unto death. Another beast comes up, which is the false prophet. And he causes people to take the mark of the beast that rules this ten-headed, or this seven-headed, ten-horned kingdom. You go to the 16th or 17th chapter. Again, you encounter those ten horns which Daniel said were ten kings. The ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which, 12th verse, 17th chapter. The ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which had received no kingdom as yet. John was receiving the vision then. Rome, the Iron Empire, ruled, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. yet to come. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast, that little horn that comes up. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For He is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and are faithful. There's a false church that makes peace with Him. These ten horns will destroy that false church in the end of that 17th chapter. Now, God's writing the history clearly in advance. We, the church, are going to be gone. Let no man trouble you that that hour come upon you and you think it's here and already gone. Don't you realize that when these things come forth, Antichrist is already here. If we're the 144,000, we would see the beast running around, putting his mark on people. Paul says he can't even come to power till we're gone. Yes, there will be some rescued during the tribulation, but I don't want to be in that camp. We're going to be gone. Praise be to God. We'll be at a supper. We'll be up there for a crowning, as was sung earlier. But God will still be doing a work of rescue down here. And the 144,000 are the first fruits. God's going to seal 144,000, 12 out of every tribe named, to be His preachers of righteousness without guile, as God keeps the door of mercy open, even in a different way during the tribulation. That's my subject as we come to the man-child and the sun-clothed woman next Sunday.